Well, hello everyone. I'm here. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be looking at the eight schools of the right, which look like this. There is the school of schizo, the school of slop, the school of realism, the school of race, the school of trad, the school of woo, the school of doom, and the school of tribe. And for the remainder of this, I'm going to be explaining exactly what these are. Now, before I continue, I should mention that these eight schools are the only ones that I've chosen to represent. That means I am not including in my schools of the right libertarians, neocons, vitalists, or Nietzscheans, or Tory boys of any sort. All of those, I'm considering this the real right, as opposed to the regime right or establishment approved right or anything like that. I also am not including people who call themselves futurists, because there's a kind of inherent progressivism in there that I'm skeptical of, and I'm not quite sure if that really belongs on the right either. So with those caveats aside, I'm going to be going through each of these schools of the right. And each one of them has their own spell book. And I'm going to be showing three core spells from the spell book of each school and also explaining why they are on the right. So let us start with the school of schizo. Oh, yes. And each school also has two opposition schools, which are like so. I'll be going through those while we go through the video. So let us start. The school of schizo, its opposition schools are realism and race. You know the school of schizo. It's the people who think that, you know, the world is run by secret Illuminati, lizard men, etc., etc., etc. That, you know, the ancient pyramids are involved in some way. The end of times is coming at some point. And they have a number of key spells, the school of schizo. One of their absolute top spells is looking for hidden symbols. They can spot hidden symbolism or cultist hand gestures. Typical school of schizo video, for example, might go through Walt Disney movies and they'll be like, oh, look at that triangle there. That triangle there means, you know, they're part of a secret cabal that likes, you know, molesting children or something like that. Or it'll be like, oh, look at all these famous people. They cover one eye. They cover one eye like that. Covering one eye, you know, is some sort of occult dog whistle. And there's lots of these. Another one is putting the hand inside the jacket, you know. And whenever I've seen stuff like this, I'd be like, okay, yeah, fair enough, you're spotting a pattern there. But I've always got that thought in the back of my mind. I'm like, well, there's only so many things you can do in photos. These are some of the most photographed people in all the world. So the odds are in all those thousands of photos, maybe at one point the photographer has asked them to do this pose. Because many times those shots are fashion shots. You know, you're at a fashion shoot and the photographer said, oh, can you just pose with your hand inside your jacket? Or maybe cover one eye or whatever it is, okay? But anyway, that's my kind of rational brain at work. For the schizo, this is cast iron proof that every famous person you've ever seen is part of a dark satanic cult of some sort. This is the sort of thinking that James Lindsay also employs in current year, apparently. We also have a second spell, the puppet masters. That is to assert that both sides work for the same masters and are actually on the same side. Now, when it comes to, for example, analysis of the ruling class and saying that there's no real difference between the Tory Party and the Labour Party, or the Republicans and the Democrats in America, that actually they both serve the same power structure and are part of the Uniparty. I think that's fair enough and is based on observable facts, right? But the School of Schizo always takes it a step further. In the School of Schizo, the NATO powers, the West and Ukraine, are not actually at war with Russia, because Vladimir Putin and the leaders of the West actually serve the same masters. They're both in thrall to the real Illuminati. And I have actually had real life situations where I've given a speech or something and somebody who majors in the School of Schizo has asked me a question like, you can't possibly believe that Putin is really kind of against the West, can you? He's one of them. He was on the WEF website or whatever. And I just can't allow myself to go there, because it basically makes history unintelligible. It means that nobody in the world has any agency whatsoever. Other variations on this, you know, the mullahs in Iran and Israel are secretly both on the same side. You know, the Chinese, the Communist Party are on the same, you know, you just get into this mindset where everybody in the entire world is part of the same kind of overarching structure, and nobody has, there are no genuine power factions anywhere in the world. And I'll explain why the School of Schizo is on the right in a second, but let's go for the final spell, which is part of the plan. That is to assert that the Illuminati have been planning what is happening for centuries, going back to the 17th and 18th century. And typically you'll get some variation of 19th century bankers, possibly Lord Rothschild. Possibly you'll get, you know, masonry involved. And all of this, you know, they'll point to certain texts written by Albert Pike or similar in the 19th century, and then use examples of how those predictions have come true. You know, similar to the way that other people have used certain protocols as well in the past. And again, the trouble with that is that there are so many variables and so many moving parts to that plan that to actually have pulled it off and made it work, you're basically dealing with a cipher for divine providence and God by that point. And that is actually why I've put the School of Schizo on the right, as mental as it is, and as much as I personally bounce off the School of Schizo, it is essentially a rightist way of thinking to believe that everything is part of God's plan for the universe, for the world. And this is actually characteristic of rightist thinking. Yes, it's conspiratorial. Yes, you can go actually cuckoo bananas crazy, cloud cuckoo land stuff. But you, I mean, this is where I kind of go back and forth with this. I am known for being pretty dismissive of the School of Schizo, but every once in a while you come across something that happens and it'll be like, oh, this guy who everybody said was crazy said this would happen 20 years ago, or this dude that everybody thinks is crazy call this 30 years ago, etc., etc., etc. So, okay, give them their due. Occasionally they get things right, but I put that down to the law of averages. You throw 1,000 darts at a dartboard and, you know, you'll land on bullseye once type thing. But anyway, that's just my cold, rational brain yet again. I'm never going to be part of the School of Schizo. As you can see, its opposition school is realism. I've also put race there as well, because in my experience, the guys who are in and around what is what I sometimes call is the kook sphere, they tend not to be into questions of race at all. In fact, they tend in the end to wish to move towards goals of world peace and things like that. They actually tend to end up in fairly kind of anodyne places in terms of their positive program for the world. Yeah, I mean, they spend most of their time picking apart the actions of the Illuminati, obviously. All right, let us move on then. And now we have the School of Slop. Again, another one of my own personal opposition schools. But the School of Slop is all about maxing out clicks, maxing out popularity, which does give you a certain power and prominence, okay? So it's not to be underrated. Each of these schools are powerful in their own right, okay? And the School of Slop is, you know, okay, it may be sniffed at by the likes of me, but they might look at me and say, well, hold on a second, academic agent. You're just a mere 99,000 subscriber channel. I'm a 2 million subscriber channel, and I'm also a multimillionaire. So who's laughing, really? So the School of Slop has got a lot of material riches on its side. And its key spells are this. Repurpose. That is to resurrect an old story as if it has just happened to max out clicks. And that happens all the time on Twitter. Second, capitalize. Work the algo and max out clicks by capitalizing random words in the title. And all of the big accounts do this, whether it's Tim Pool or Russell Brand or Dr. Steve Turley, they all do that capitalization of random letters, random words in the title. Obviously, it makes people click more. I have done that once or twice, but usually that's because my audience knows I am parodying this style. Third, it's happening. Act as if whatever has just happened is of great significance to max out clicks. In the world of slop, we are always on the cusp of World War III or on the cusp of civil war as the Democrats implode and the woke go broke. So there's this kind of strange space where we're always either on the cusp of disaster or absolute victory. You know, whatever's just happened is either fantastic news for our guy, terrible news for for our opponents, or it's bad news for everybody and the world's about to end. These are the kind of sensationalism. And the School of Slop, you know, while, again, not to my tastes, it has its power and basically accounts for the vast majority of activity that goes on the quote-unquote right in the current year. I mean, most rightists now are masters of the School of Slop. You know, I had him on the show, Dr. Steve Turley, but let's face it, he serves up slop. Most people in this space engage in some slop spells. And despite my efforts to be anti-slop, you know, I'm up against it, basically, because they will always get the most clicks because that's what it's geared up to do. So, yes, that's the School of Slop. Why is it on the right? Well, the thing is that most of the people who engage in that sort of space are partisan. They are, you know, I would never doubt, for example, that the Patriot professor, Dr. Steve Turley, is a man of the right. Of course, he's a man of the right. And this is something that we'll talk about later, is that pretty much everybody will major in one school and then they'll minor in another school. Well, I would say Dr. Steve, he majors in the School of Slop, but he also has a minor in the School of Trad, for example, right? Many other people will combine in all sorts of different ways. The opposition schools, I mean, it's not impossible to combine across them, but, you know, the way it would work, as in Pathfinder or, you know, editions of Dungeons & Dragons, you cast opposition school spells with severe penalties, basically, and you get bonuses to the school that you specialize in, right? So if you're a master of the School of Slop, you can engage in realism or questions of the tribe, but you do so at a minus one or a minus two penalty to your hit or whatever, you know. All right, now we have the School of Realism, and this is obviously the one that I major in myself, friends. Its opposition schools are the two that we've just seen, Schizo and Slop. Its key spells are the Iron Law of Oligarchy. That is, you use elite theory to show the primacy of power and how people power is nearly always an illusion. You also show how power subverts or contains genuine dissidence. That's a lot of what I've done on this channel, a lot of stuff I've written as well. You have historical precedent, that is, affirm or deny a claim based on whether it's been seen at any time in history. Something that, you know, we take from Machiavelli and the Machiavellian school, which is basically looking at what actually happened in history and then inductively deriving conclusions based on those observations. This is why I've mentioned that Friedrich List is an economist I like. That's how he works in his economics. He doesn't start with a set of abstract principles. He starts from what actually is, not what ought to be, but what actually is, and derives conclusions based on those observations. So that, you know, there's a kind of, I mean, I wouldn't call it a science, but there's a kind of empirical method there. And third, nothing ever happens. That is, pour cold water on the apparent significance of any event by putting it into perspective and focusing on fundamental structure. Again, this is why you can see why this is in opposition to the school of the schools of Schizo and Slop in so many ways, especially in terms of this is the opposite of it's happening, the big thing's happening. Almost always the big thing that's happening is not as big as is being made out. I'll give you an example that we've seen countless times. Somebody will point out that there's been a sudden dip in a particular stock, right, over like the past day or so. And this is an example of a company imploding because of its woke policies. The first thing is that the dip likely has nothing to do with the woke policies. The second thing is, if you zoom out and look at the long trend line, you know, the truth is it's likely just a kind of blip or something. And we've seen that countless times over the past 5-6 years, you know, many editions of Unpopular Opinions. We saw that as a story. Or with the Middle East, for example, you know, it's always happening. Oh, look at what Iran's done now type thing. I mean, until there's actually some change in the status quo, really nothing's happening. So yeah, this is something that it's deeper. I did a whole stream on Baudrillard, where this concept comes from, as to what exactly this means. But basically, if the fundamental structure is unaltered, nothing has really happened, or it's a superficial happening. And this is my own major school. This is something that you'll all be thinking of as we go through this. What school do you major in? What school do you minor in? What are your opposition schools? Well, I major in realism. I wrote a whole book on it in Populist Delusion. I've made countless videos using analysis from this point of view. And I've always drawn the ire and been against Schizo and Slop. So that is me in a nutshell. I do have a few spells from other schools, which we'll be talking about soon. Fourth school that we're going to look at is the School of Race. Now, this is who would somebody from the School of Race be? The Ed Dutton, for example, would major in this school. People from the HBD crowd, the Human Biodiversity crowd. Aporia magazine, Richard Lynn, I'm trying to think, Jared Taylor. I mean, there's all sorts of people who very identifiably belong to this school. Steve Saylor is one of these. And its key spells really are in and around data in different ways. 1350 is to use crime stats to point out the differences between racial groups. And then the spell they've got, G-loaded, that is to use IQ stats and other metrics to point out the differences between racial groups. J.F. Garapay is also from this school. DNA, that is to use autistic DNA analysis to prove or disprove a claim. That's something else that these guys engage in. So they're very science-heavy, science-focused. And for that reason, their opposition schools are the schools of Schizo and the school of Wu. A very good example of how guys from this school literally cannot see the things that the School of Wu is saying is an interview that took place between Ed Dutton and a friend of mine, Philosophicat, who makes videos on Evola. And I mean, I think that's on Cat's channel, could be on Dutton's, I'm not sure, but it's on YouTube, I've seen it. And you can see that throughout that, Ed just doesn't get it. His rational scientific brain cannot get his head around esoteric kind of Evolian content that Cat is talking about. So they're speaking two completely different languages. And for this reason, the School of Race is particularly incompatible, I would say, with the School of Wu, which is all about the immaterial world and the transcendent absolute and all of this sort of stuff. Because it has, at its base, a materialistic mindset. It also tends to be pretty heavily evolutionary in its thinking. A lot of kind of Darwinian ideas in there. So this is the School of Race. Also, it has clear problems with the School of Schizo. The School of Race type people tend to be very data-driven, evidence-driven, rational, and typically the conclusions reached by the School of Schizo require too many leaps of faith and gaps in logic, which is going to irritate somebody who is very autistic from this School of Race. So you can see why it has clear issues with these two other schools. I will move on. Next, we have the School of Trad. Now, even though this is trad, I do not mean by this the perennial traditionalists like Gwynon, Evola, and so on. They are actually covered by the School of Wu. The School of Trad is closer to the trad Caths, something like my friend Dave the Distributist, Dave Green. He would belong to the School of Trad, okay? Another person who would have some levels in this would be E. Michael Jones, for example, although he obviously majors in tribe, but he has a subcategory of trad, right? As does, for example, the Gripers or the Fuentes crowd to some extent. They would, you know, have some level in this. Typically, trads are Catholic or Christian in some way. And I would say that Peter Hitchens has heavy trad characteristics, although, as you'll see, the opposition school is the School of Doom here. And I'll talk more about that in a second. So, I mean, if Peter Hitchens is majors in Doom, which he does, he would be casting his trad spells at a -2 penalty due to the opposition there. I'll talk more about that soon. I would say that if you're a true kind of Christian, you can't ever go full School of Doom. Not just due to Christian ideas of linear history and the Second Coming and things like that, but also if you truly believe that Christ will come again, then really the worldly concerns of the here and now are, you know, secondary to the fact that ultimately everything's going to be all right, okay? So there are natural kind of built-in defenses that the School of Trad has against Doom. But anyway, here are the key spells of Trad. Brand degenerate, that is, lament the current state of things by branding something degenerate. We've all seen that 1,000 times. And if you're of this school, you spend a lot of time doing it. Although I would say that somebody like Dave is long beyond pointing out how degenerate things are. As a more sophisticated fellow, okay? Second is to reject atomization, is to lament the lack of real community in the current year due to atomized individualism. And this is actually an important differentiation between the trad and the Wu. Because in people like Evola or Gwynon, you will also see the rejection of atomization. But they will not be doing it because of quote-unquote community. They'll be doing it because the atomization prevents you from, achieving transcendence or becoming one with a spiritual absolute or something like that. Whereas for the trad, it's actually about the real living community and the social bonds between the people. A distinction that I've not heard many people talk about. Third spell for the school of trad is heteronormative. That is simply to reassert traditional gender norms. And I would say that I have a couple of trad levels. I mean, obviously, I'm not a Christian, but certainly some of these things are things that I've done over the years. And I have some sympathies with them, I guess. I would like to see heteronormative relations as a norm restored. As a norm, I'm not saying that there can never be any gay people or there can never be girly men or whatever. I'm just saying that as a norm, as something that should be upheld as an ideal, ideally I would want those things. I have talked about wanting community and rejecting atomization. I've branded things degenerate and gone on those arcs in the past. I tend to talk less about these things these days because I've become more, I guess, aloof and ride the tigery, and I'm less bothered by things now. But certainly at times I've had, certainly 3 or 4 years ago, I had lots of material on this sort of stuff, which you can have a look at in the archives. Now, its opposition schools are Woo and Doom, and there are some very good reasons for this, because if trad basically is a stand-in for some sort of Christian or some sort of some either Catholicism or some strand of Christianity, some of these would be Orthodox bros, for example, the Ortho bros, then it stands to reason that you're not going to want to be open to other faiths. And the school of Woo goes in the other direction. It tends to lean on perennial wisdom, perennialism, and tends to look to the East and tends to look at all different religious systems around the world, pagan systems, Taoism, Buddhism, yoga, Hinduism, you name it, the Hermetic tradition, alchemy, magic even. So all of these things are in play. And you can see why, like, if you're a hardcore Catholic, all of this stuff is heresy, right? So there's bound to be an incompatibility there. Not helped by the fact that one of the major figures in the School of Woo, Julius Evola, was very critical of Christianity, as was Gwinon in some places as well, and some of the other writers. But especially Evola was particularly caustic about Christianity in his various writings. Especially in his early book, Pagan Imperialism, which I've talked about before. Now, I have, again, some dabblings in the School of Woo. I would say I'm weak in this school, but I have dabblings in it, okay? And its key spells are this. Primordial being. That is to reject the materialist reign of quantity, to become one with the absolute, the primordial being. Now, if this sounds a bit woo to you, that is because literally this is the school of Woo, okay? And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I'm just saying that once you get into this headspace, it's a completely different way of thinking, okay? I mean, it's basically Neoplatonist, I guess you'd say, in the Western tradition. It's close to Platonism. Anyway, the esoteric path now. And here, you draw from a range of initiatic traditions and rituals to help achieve self-actualization. And then the final spell is perennial wisdom. Appreciate the everlasting and universal truths under all things. Now, the opposition schools to the School of Woo are race and trad. I've already mentioned the reasons for the trad part. And the race part should also be fairly self-evident, because the School of Race is underpinned essentially by materialist science, and the School of Woo is extremely skeptical about the quantification of science and the scientific way of understanding the world, which it actually in the end rejects. So this is, and especially the ideology of scientism, which comes to be all pervasive in a society that worships science. So you can see also why these two things are going to bounce off each other, and why when Ed Dutton and Philosophica, who I would consider to major in the school of Wu. You know, Philosophica actually does readings, astrology, and things like that. You know, to give you an example, I understand why those two bounce off each other. Really, they can't really speak the same language. All right, so let's carry on. And ironically, I would say I have some levels in some dabbling levels in Wu, Ray Santra, although obviously, you know, I major in the realism. Next, we have the School of Doom, and its key spells are the cycle, that is to point out the civilizations go through distinct and predictable stages. And of course, in my book, The Prophets of Doom, I talked you through many different versions of that, whether it's Spengler, Vico, Glubb, Toynbee, Evelyn even. Different people have different models, but they all basically show this pattern of rise and fall. Then we have collapse. Now, the key spell, posit that society is in terminal decline and renewal will not come before a collapse. And finally, it's over. Where is he? Where is...
It's over.
Argue that there is no hope of a victory within our lifetimes, such as the bleakness of the outlook. And of course, the poster child for that is Peter Hitchens. Now, not all majors in the School of Doom go as far as Hitchens with the it's over talk, but it is kind of implicit that the within our lifetimes part is often part of the package. And I major in the realism, if I minor in any school, it would probably be the School of Doom, especially given I've written a whole book on it, The Prophets of Doom. I did have a short the other day saying it's never over. But it's never over, of course, in the long durée, in the long run. Okay. Within our lifetimes, there may not be the victory that you're looking for. And of course, this goes against the immediacy and the urgency and the it's happening of the School of Slop. And it also goes against some of the precepts of the trans as well, as I talked about already. And finally, we have the School of Tribe. This is in opposition to Slop and Doom as well. Its key spells are noticing or notice. That is noticing that many influential people who have had a detrimental effect on how things have gone share a certain background. Every time, that is when someone is caught in the act of subversion, exclaim how it is somebody from this particular background, literally every time. And finally, the chart, that is to present a chart listing lots of prominent people, let's say in the cabinets of the American government or in, you know, media institutions or whatever, and then putting a little symbol next to them to point out how they're all of a similar background. These are all things that people who major in the School of Tribe do again and again. And like I said, you can buddy up things in different ways. You can have somebody who majors in tribe with a minor in race, for example. That would be, I don't know, Professor McDonald, for example. Or you can have people who totally reject that and major in trad, for example. So E. Michael Jones, as an example, majors in the School of Tribe. He actually rejects race outright, the science of race, he rejects it outright. But yet he is also a trad, right? So you can see how the different schools can buddy up in different ways. And if I take you back to the start here, you could think about all of the different schools, their various oppositions, and which one would you be your major, which one would be your minor. And it's kind of a fun exercise, something to think about. I encourage you to like and subscribe, leave a comment, tell me which school you major in, which school you minor in, if you disagree with all of this, and if so, why. Pick up a course at the academic agency. I recommend the Trivium, you know, logic, writing, rhetoric, those, and the research one, if you can get that one in as well. You do those four courses, it will stand you in good stead in many different walks of life. if you're a school, if you're a college, if you're at work, you know, it will help in all sorts of different ways. And it just behooves me to say, get out, everybody. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.